Because we left off with a fundamental question, how to understand the nature of Birchas HaReach. So on the one hand, there was a very strong Havamina that Birchas HaReach shouldn't exist until the Gemara discovered that it does exist. Kol Neshama Tahalaka. So we spoke a little bit yesterday why one would have thought it doesn't exist, but Lamais, it does exist. So we have to deal with the reality, not what we thought the reality should have been. So the reality is that it exists. So now the question becomes, is it part of Birchas HaNenin? Do we say that after all the dust settles, it is considered to be like a hano, albeit a hano sarishom and a hano saguf, but it is a sufficient type of hano to trigger Birchas HaNenin? But do I say no, that ultimately it's not really Birchas HaNenin? It's closer in model perhaps to Birchas HaShevach than it is to Birchas HaNenin. So we spoke yesterday a little bit about the Havamin and the Maskaras HaGemara, when you recite it before or after. But is there any raya from Rishonim, anything explicit in Rishonim to one way or the other? So the Lashon of Rambam is pretty clear about this. You take a look at the Rambam in the second of the Marmakamos. So the Rambam writes, Kishem sha'asa li'adam nehanas b'maychal b'mashke k'edim bracha, kach asla li'hanas b'rech toiv k'edim bracha. It's kind of hard to deny that Rambam. The Rambam's pretty clear that Kishem, just as you make a bracha on food and drink, als b'rechza nanin, so too you make a bracha on reach, als b'rechza nanin. So the Rambam, again, is pretty obvious. Any other Rishonim will also buy into this Rambam. So there is a Ridvar, Maseches Psochim, that also speaks the same language as the Rambam. Here, the context of the Ridvar is actually not really even Birchas HaReach. It's really the Ridvar is contrasting Birchas HaReach to another bracha. The only reason why these two brachas are found in the same breath is because we have a practice of reciting them together. And that is the Matzei Shabbos, the bracha B'Sam and the bracha Bar Mara'esh. So in fact, even though both of those brachas appear in Chazal, neither of them has anything intrinsically to do with Havdalah. The Gemara is very clear in the fourth parak of Maseches Pesachim that Bar Mara'esh has actually nothing to do with Havdalah. Neither does Bar B'nei B'Samim. These are brachas that were instituted by Chazal as Matzei Shabbos tikka brachas. Matzei Shabbos is a mechayev of B'Samim, Matzei Shabbos is a mechayev of Bar Mara'esh. The Gemara says that im kvar as kvar, you're already making Havdalah lakos, so you're already granting chashivas to the bracha of Amalat Mekadosh L'chol. So we know, we have a general rule that whenever we can up the ante and make the brachas feel a little bit more important about themselves, a little more chashivas to the bracha, so we try to do that. And yayin is always a good vehicle. In case you haven't figured that out until now, maybe post-Purim, it's good to re-emphasize that. So quote this for next year. Yayin's a good thing. Get that, Ellie, get that down, okay? Yeah. That's a good thing. Yayin's a good thing, it's brachas. That's all I said. Yayin's a good thing, it's brachas. It takes mitzvahs and elevates mitzvahs a little bit. It's a little bit more chashivas than a brachas. So to over here, the Gemara says that even for askvar, you're already making a barim nebisam because of Tzoy Shabbos. You're already making a barim eitzvahs about Tzoy Shabbos. And you make Yavdol anyway, like Yayin, so matayim anoyim, make it all together. But that's only a lechetcha, that's a hiddur. What if, for whatever reason, a person made Havdalah and didn't have B'Sam, didn't have Eish, so make Havdalah without it. And if you get it later that night, so matayim anoyim. It is obvious that these brachas have nothing to do with Havdalah, rather than Matzah Shabbos Nikadinim. That is the reason why these brachas are not recited after Matzah Shabbos. Let's say if a person forgot to make Havdalah, the guy at Purim night, I imagine by somebody forgot to make Havdalah Purim night, a lot of things going on. All of a sudden you remember Tuesday at 11:15, and when here, you don't have to embarrass yourselves, but if you forgot to make Havdalah, it's still night, have a few more hours. The Gemara says in Pesachim that you can make Havdalah until the end of Tuesday. Why is that? Because Havdalah has to be on Matzoy Shabbos. Must be Matzoy Shabbos. So starting Saturday night until halfway through the week, when you already reach Tuesday night, so that's already the beginning of the next week. So the first 3 days of the week are Nigror and Bosa, the last Shabbos, and the next 3 days of Nigror are already that Chol of the next Shabbos. I remember the Rashi Kevi Avner, Rigovitz Etzal, once told us that he saw a Bachar walking like late Tuesday afternoon. He's walking with his knapsack, carrying like his stuff ready for Shabbos. So he walked over to him and he said, he wasn't sure whether he was just first coming back Tuesday afternoon or he was going ready out for the next Shabbos. So the halacha is that you can still make Havdalah until Tuesday night. But you can't make Bar Nebisopim. You can't make Bar Heish on Tuesday afternoon because those are Matzoy Shabbos, Tikkun Brachas. Why can't you make Havdalah until Tuesday? So the Gemara says because it's still considered to be Tzeis HaShabbos. It's still Yetzias HaShabbos. So there's a machlekes in the Rishonim how to understand that din, that you're allowed to make Havdalah till Tuesday night. Is pshat that that's like Matoras Tashlumin, I mean, basically, the real mechayiv of making avdala is Motzei Shabbos. That's Tisa Shabbos. That's the end of Shabbos. Hello, what? Because I'll give you a break. If you forgot to make avdala Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I'll give you a tashlumin. It's like the guy who overslept Shachar, so let him daven two minchas. Or, no, it's not a tashlumin. That's the Iker Hazman. The Iker Hazman is the end of Shabbos. The end of Shabbos goes till Tuesday afternoon. So making avdala on Tuesday afternoon and making avdala Motzei Shabbos is not fundamentally different. It's the same mitzvah. One is a little bit more zrizus than the other, but fundamentally it's the same mitzvah. So that's a very, very lumdish, a technical question. Is the Tuesday afternoon of Avdol, is that Beteres Tashlumin or not? But no matter what you think it is, it's not going to help for Barbara Eish, it's not going to help for Bisamim. The man of Kabinim, who cares what is Tashlumin? You have to do it anyway. You want to know the difference? Well, so the Gemara says in Psochim and Chagiga that whenever you have a principle of Tashlumin, if a person is chayiv in the Ika Mitzvah, then there's a sugi of Tashlumin. If a person is exempt from the Ika Mitzvah, what's not Tashlumin? Tashlumin is for someone who missed their chiyuv, but if you weren't mechuv altogether, then there's no thing as Tashlumin. So what would the din be, let's say, if a person was potter on Avdallah on Mitzvah Shabbos? Why was he potter? So the Rosh, at the beginning of the third parak of Brachas, quotes a Shala, the guy was an Einein. He just lost his relative. The Shabbos afternoon, somebody dies. So all day Shabbos, he's not really an Einein, because he can't do Kfur anyway. Comes Shabbos is over. The minute Shabbos is over, he becomes an Einein. He's not allowed to do mitzvahs. An Einein is potter, and is also do mitzvahs. So Mitzvah Shabbos, he doesn't recite Avdallah. So the Shail is, now that he does the Kfur Sunday afternoon, does he make Avdallah right then and there? So the Rosh quotes one day in Rishayim that says, you don't make Avdallah. Why? Because you were potter. Since you were put his potter from mitzvahs. So on Matzei Shabbos, when the Iker Chiyuv was Chal, he was potter. So you don't have Tashlumin when there's no Iker Chiyuv. And the Rosh quotes other opinion and says, no, it's not true. That the Iker Chiyuv is until Tuesday. So therefore, even though you were potter for part of the Chiyuv, you pick it up on Sunday afternoon. So that's how we pass in Shulchan Aruch. That's what that practice is. And that's why when Tisha B'Av falls out on Sunday, so we don't make Avdallah Matzei Shabbos, but we do make Avdallah Sunday night. So according to the first group Rishon, you wouldn't make Avdallah. Because when Tisha B'Av comes, you're potter from Avdallah. You don't make Avdallah on Tisha B'Av. You can't make Avdallah on Kais, on Tisha B'Av. So according to the first group of Rishonim, you wouldn't make Avdallah on Sunday night. But that's not our practice. Our practice is we do make Avdallah. But fine, but that's Lagabe Avdallah. Lagabe the Bissam and the Eish. So there's nothing to do with Avdallah. Those are Matzei Shabbos, take a Chiyuvim. So what kind of Chiyuvim are they? Wait, we're getting there. I'm saying about the Eish. We're going to get the Eish. So why do we make Avdallah? Well, why do we make Bissam and Eish on Matzei Shabbos? What is it about Matzei Shabbos that triggers the Chiyuv? So the Gemara talks about Eish. The Gemara says that because that's when fire was created. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Chochmah to Adam HaRishon, the first Matzei Shabbos, to rub two sticks together. And then he figured it out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu may help him figure it out. That makes a spark, makes a flame. So the first usage of a fire by a human being was on that very first Matzei Shabbos. So it's a Zecha to that. We make a Bar Me'ari Ha'esh. Then the Gemara says, Mr. Holtz says correctly, that on Matzah Yom Kippur, we also make a Bar Me'ari. That's for a different reason than Gamri. Fire was not created in Matzah Yom Kippur. We make a Bar Me'ari because to commemorate the fact that the fire was totally unusable. For the last 24 hours, we couldn't do anything with this flame. And now comes Matzah Yom Kippur. So now we're allowed to use it again. So it's a different kind of Bar Me'ari. That's why the Gemara explains that on Motzei Yom Kippur, you have to make a Bar Me'ari on a fire that was around on Yom Kippur. That's what's called a Nesh HaShavas. It has to be that the candle was around, it was lit already, the flame was going from Erev Yom Kippur, and then hands off, we couldn't touch it for 24 hours, and now we can resume using it. Yeah, we can cook, we can light other things, etc. So that's a celebration of the fire coming back into usage. So it has to be a fire that has been around for 24 hours but was resting. As you ain't getting Matzei Shabbos, there's no such thing. Matzei Shabbos, you're not making a Bar Me'ari to commemorate the reuse of the fire. You're making a Bar Me'ari to commemorate the creation of fire. So therefore, there's no requirement to Nesh HaShavas. That's why in Matzei Shabbos, you can strike a match and light up the holy candle. Matzei Yom Kippur, you can't do it. Matzei Yom Kippur, you have to use a candle that was already around from before.
Are you not cooking Yom Kippur?
You can't cook Yom Kippur.
Even
begins? Yeah, even begins. There's no Hatavach HaNefesh. Right? There's no Hatavach HaNefesh in Yom Kippur. Okay? So you can feed the kids, but you can't cook for them. Okay, so back to the story. So in the middle of this sugya, in Maseches Pesachim, and the Gemara is talking about the bracha Bar Me'ari, bracha Bar Me'ari Eish, all these brachas that are Matzah Shabbos, think of brachas. So Bar Me'ari, the Gemara never explains why you make it. The Gemara says you make it, but it's a Shabbos, and the Gemara never explains why. So most of the Rishonim say the reason is because the Gemara says in Beitza that when Shabbos ends, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away our Neshama Yaseira. Shabbos starts, he gives us the Neshama Yaseira, he takes it away, so Matzah Shabbos, so we feel a little bit bad, so we want to make the Neshama, we want to feel a little bit better. So which bracha do we use? Our Sugya. What's the nice thing to make the Neshama feel better? Something. Why? Because call it a Shabbat. I'm like, I'm going to give the Neshama a little bit of a chizuk. So the Neshama had its good friend for the whole week. It had the whole day. It had a Neshama Yaseira. Now the Neshama Yaseira leaves us, so we feel bad. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So to make up for that taking away from the Neshama Yaseira, the Rebbeinu Shlom, so we have a little bit of a smell. We smelled the B'Shabbat. So there was a Machlekes, the Reshbam and Tosfos about whether there's a Neshama Yaseira on Yontif as well, because the Gemara in the end of Pesachim talks about the Havdalah that you make when Shabbos goes into Yontif, so you make a special Havdalah. That's what's called Yakdahaz. You have to make Yayin for Kiddush and for Havdalah. So Kiddush is Kuf is Kiddush. You have to make a Bormer Eish, then you have to make Hay for Havdalah, then make Zman for Shechiyanu. So the Gemara says that the Gemara quotes different opinions. That's how we pass. The Gemara says that when you have Shabbos going into Yontif, you make the statements of Yakdahaz. So the Rishonim and Ma'orah and that sugya b'samim, as I mentioned, the Rishbam and Tosfos both point out there's no mention of b'samim. So you see clearly that you don't make a b'samim on Shabbos going into Yontif. Why is that? So the Rishbam says because it must be that a person has the Shabbos Seir and Yontif also. So since he has the Shabbos Seir and Yontif, he doesn't feel bad when Shabbos goes. It's still there. Shabbos Seir is still hanging around for another day or two. So therefore, you don't need a b'samim. So Tosfos asks to the Rishbam, that would be right. Then but say Yontif, we should make a barman b'samim, which might say we don't do. So Taisa says the Rashbam is not right. Taisa writes that the reason why we don't make a Barber of Yisabim and Shabbos going to Yontif, not because the Neshama Yaseira is still there, Neshama Yaseira Tacha left, but because we're in a good mood anyway, we're not so down, we don't get so down on Yontif, we have good food to eat, a boss of Yad, a lot of good stuff, so that'll make us, that makes it a goof out of Neshama, all happy, so we're good to go. We don't need the little smell of the little, cloves or something to cheer us up. We're in a pretty good mood anyway. A regular was a Shabbos, but down in the dumps. Why? Shabbos is over. We know we got to go back to school tomorrow, we got to go back to studying for our finals tomorrow. It's a miserable. What's miserable with Shabbos? Sometimes you have a date, sometimes it makes you miserable, sometimes it makes you happy, depending on where you're up to in Shaduchim. But Matzah Shabbos is not the most cheeriest time under the sun. So therefore, you need a little bit of a shmech, a little bit of a smell to make you feel a little bit better. But Yontif, everything's great. You don't have to worry. There are no finals, there are no dates. Everything's great. Just a lot of fun on Yontif. So you don't need a little bit of a b'sam. So it's a strange machlekes, the Rashbam and Tosfos. Is there a Neshama Yaseira on Yontif? How would you ever test this? Like how would you know? What's the litmus test? How would you know who's right, the Rashbam and Tosfos? So Rashi and Beitz writes in the second beginning of the second parak that Neshama Yaseira means that a person can eat a lot on Shabbos and they never get full. It's a Raya Brewer. It happens all the time. The guy sits and eats it more and more and more, and Mamash just it keeps on going. It's like a never ending, it's like a endless bottomless pit. He keeps on eating more chult and more chult. There's a sixth chult that he had already, and he's still going strong. That he has dessert, that he starts notching the rest of the day. He's back to Shal Shul. He never stops eating. So that's an unbelievable nace, Rashi writes. That's the Neshama Yaseira. That Oichel v'Oichel v'Shayisev v'Eino Kots b'Mezoinoi. Why is that called the Neshama Yaseira? That should be called the Guf Yaseira. What's the Neshama? So the pshat is that why do we get full when we eat? Because your body is a physical, it's limited by space. Physical things have limitations of time and space. So your stomach can only expand to a certain amount. So when you have your sixth hot dogs, there's no room anymore. So your stomach runs out of room. So mamela, your whole body starts to kick in. It causes you. You want to throw up. You don't want to eat anymore. So that's caused by you eating a physical food. But if it's not your guf that's eating, it's really your neshama that's partaking of the delight of Shabbos. And the neshama is a spiritual. Spiritual things don't take up room. That's why the Gemara says that the Aron didn't take up any room in the base of Mikdash because it was spiritual. It was a physical being, but the mice it had spiritual characteristics, and therefore you couldn't measure it. Didn't take up any space. So if you're eating on Shabbos, is b'teira saguf, you're going to get stuff to the hills. But if you're eating as b'teira neshama, the Baruch Shalom gives you the neshama yaseira, so all the food goes out of the guf right into the neshama. I can't promise you the calories aren't going to collect in the goof also. I'm not a ruchkesh, I don't have. But that extra mile of Eino Kots B'Mezoinei, that's because Shabbos is a ruchnias tekechila, not a gashmias tekechila. So that should be the test case. You should eat and fress and stuff your faces on Yontif and see what happens. Does it work or not? So if you can just keep on going and never stop, so then the Rashbam is right. If you reach a point, you start to throw up, then Tais is right. So you have to, next Yontif, so try to remember to run an experiment. Preferably not in my house. And you'll figure out what the din is. Okay, back to that story. So bottom line is in this whole this whole background, the Ritva makes the following observation. The Ritva writes that he thinks there's a big difference between the bracha of Bar Mineh B'Samim and the bracha of Bar Mineh Ari Ha'esh. What's the difference? So the Ritva writes that the third of the Mamre Kamas, so the Ritva quotes who? Quotes himself, Kos Varitzal. The Chedusha Ritva and Psachim, I think, were put together by the Tabidim, so they quote in the name of the Rebbe. So Kos Rabbeinu Yontav Zal, the Ritva. Vada Shebirchas Or Eina Birchas Enenin, Dim Kein Kol Shosh Nevimena, Hila Varcha, Alav. If Baruchah Barma Eish was the Birchas Enenin, that you're not allowed to Nenef from fire without making a Baruchah, so I should make it on Tuesday night also? Why is it Afka on Mitzvah Shabbos? So he says that obviously it's not a Birchas Enenin. He said, "We don't file, like remember we spoke about the guy takes a sits in the jacuzzi. You don't make a brich zaner on a nos that are primarily outside of your body. The only things that warrant the brich zaner are things that the goof itself is nana. Kigon achila shtia. Catch this. V'reach. V'reach. Now again, the Ritva was well aware of the Gemara about the neshama. He's using goof and neshama in together at this point. It means that something's going internally. The reach is going internally, the food's going internally, the drink's going internally, whereas the eish is something which remains external. So Ella, in contrast to birchas ha-besamim, which is the birchas ha-nenin, birchas ha-eish is not. Elevade zu birchas ha-shevach, ulefika ha-tiknos el motzei Shabbos. So therefore they only instituted on motzei Shabbos, and it gives you the different reasons why. Dikatai tichadish u'davar mischadish. Rebbe Shabbos nifzikona also. So number one, like the same as you have in Erev Yom Kippur, that the fires were off limits. And also because it's the beginning of creation. And that idea that we recite a bracha when something's, and it's Tchilas Briyoso, so that we have a parallel for, we have a precedent for that. So here the Ritva connects the bracha of Bermer Eish, the Birch Zachama. Birch Zachama. Once every 28 years, the Gemara says that you make a bracha, when the Shemesh comes back, the Chava comes back to the way it was lined up in some shape or form, corresponding to Ma'aseh Bereishis. So Chazal instituted a bracha of Oseh Ma'aseh Bereishis. The Gemara, the ninth parak of Maseches brachas. So the Gemara says that only happens once every 28 years. On a Wednesday, every once every 28 years. You guys remember the last Pesach Chama? No, you guys remember the little kids? 2009. So you guys were babies. No, I don't know you guys then. It was like 5, 6 years old, no? Okay. So we got next one to go, right? Mr. Walter, how many do you remember? Remember two? Remember three?
I went back to the one in 1953.
You remember the 53 one? I want to ask you how old you are. So I remember the one in 81, and I remember the one in 2009. In 81, I was in high school. I was in high school, right. Okay, good. To a few more Birchas Chamas. Okay, good. All right. It was a little frightening when I walked away from the last one, thinking that the next one was going to be 71. I didn't like that sound of it. I didn't like the way it rang. Then it seemed like so far away. Not so far anymore. Getting closer, yeah. More than halfway, right? More than halfway there. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
The comparison, though, isn't like exact, because we don't only do it like the first Shabbos of the year.
Yeah. Okay, you're right. It's not a perfect comparison. Right. We're looking at it. Right. If you had Birchas Chamas every week, it would be a little, wouldn't be so exciting. Okay. I was cleaning up some stuff in the basement the other day, and I had a whole pile of old svarim, and I found Birch Sechama. I figured I could put that away for a while. Wait a couple more years. Okay. Back to our, maybe we should have a Shia trip to the eclipse, no? Is there an eclipse next week, 2 weeks?
Sure.
2 weeks, right? Who wants to go? A whole Shia trip? Okay, we'll talk about it, okay. Work around Nadia, okay, maybe we get Shiva to sponsor a bus for us, yeah. Okay. All right. Same bus tickets to Washington. All right. Back to our story. So maybe not. So the Ritva here in Pesach, the goal of the Ritva is not really to talk about Bar Mineh B'Samim. His really goal is to talk about Bar Mineh Eish, but in passing he compares and contrasts it to the Bar Mineh B'Samim, and he clearly held it's Birchas Hanenin. So we have a lot of Rishonim who seem to be pretty clear that it's Birchas Hanenin, the Rambam's Beferish, the Ritva's Beferish. The Gemara is almost come out sounds that way, because the Gemara ultimately rejects the possibility of spelling first, making a bracha afterwards, which would put it much more in the Birchas Hanenin camp. Is there any real nafkamina? Like, does it make a difference? It's just like a theoretical discussion. Does it really interest us whether it's Birchas Hanenin or not? There's a very, very funny tesis here. Very, very strange tesis. On the fourth of the Rambam Kamas. So Tosfos is discussing reciting a bracha on besamim, but we're not quite sure what kind of besamim it is. So the Gemara basically breaks down all of besamim into four categories. There are atze besamim, which are some kind of pieces of a tree, a piece of wood. There's isbe besamim, things are more leaves, more grasses. Then there's nosin rechpe bapeiros, the fruits that smell nicely. And then there's, by default, everything else, the bar mide besamim, things that don't really fit into any one of those pre-existing categories, the bar mide besamim. The Gemara is supposed to try to make the right bracha on the right thing. So there's a machlokes, the Ashkenazim, and the Sephardim. But the Sephardim, when you make Havdalah, what do you make? Bore.
It just depends what we have.
Depends what you have. So sometimes you make Atzei, sometimes Isbei, sometimes Bina, whatever it is. So by the Sephardim, they'll make the right bracha, whatever the item is. So that's really the more correct minhag. So the Ashkenazi communities became to make a bore mine b'sam. We don't even look what it is. It's always very b'sam. Why is that? Because it was confusing. Not everyone knew. The Sephardim, they were more down to earth. They knew what was going on in the trees. The Ashkenazim, they lived in cities. They lived in Warsaw and Krakow. They had no clue. Most guys in Poland had no idea what a tree, what a grass was. So they made a Bar Mitzvah. Bar Mitzvah, you ain't seen anything. So that became the standard practice. We have cousins, my wife's cousins in Eretz Yisrael, so in the summers we usually spend the Shabbos with them. So they have in the, they moved since then. These have the right in their backyard. So they used to have some trees, and they had grasses, they had bushes, they had all kind of different things, and all of them had different kinds of spices. So whenever we were there for Shabbos, they would always ask me to make Havdalah. So I never knew which bracha to make. So they would always, depending on what mood he was in, he would yank something either off the tree, or just go in the backyard, and drag it off the tree, or pull something out of the ground, and he'd make a, tell me to make, no, Tzvei Tavarech, Isbe, Atze, whatever it was. So I used to make, yeah, Isbe, Bezam. Okay. Yeah. I was once, a couple of years ago, I was with my wife in Wyoming. What we do in Wyoming? That's what the state they say has no Jews. So we were in Wyoming. There were a bunch of families that went to, that took over some hotel in Wyoming right near the parks, and they made a whole Shabbaton there. And they asked us to come along. So we came, so we came along for Shabbos. So we had a minyan in Wyoming. And we were going on one of the days. We were going on one of the parks or something. So I was with another guy. I didn't know who he was, but we went together with him. And like in the middle of walking, and all of a sudden, he rips off something off one of the trees or something, one of the bushes in the state park. And he picks it up and says, "Oh," he says, "Bore atze besamim," and he hands it to me. I should make a bracha. So I also said bore atze besamim. Then I realized afterwards, it's a machlokes around with the Ravid whether I should make that bracha. Why? Yeah, it was stolen. Yeah, it was stolen goods. Yeah, he ripped it off the tree. I don't do that. So, Mr. Alter, is that illegal or the state?
I just said it's stolen.
Stolen. I don't know. It could be Wyoming. It's Michael on it. Then it could be a little bit here and there, you know. For this
report.
You didn't pass the bar in Wyoming? It's okay. There are no people in Wyoming. So, anyway, it's the state of Wyoming against Rabbi Sobolovsky. So, according to the Rambam, you can't make a bracha on the stolen goods. According to the Rambam, you can. You're just a Goslem, you can still make a bracha. So, after I made the bracha, I realized, hey, wait a second, maybe I shouldn't have made that bracha. No. Anyway, back to that story. Sasha Pruta. Okay. It's a Gazela, it's a Chatzishir. The Kesavishna says, it's a Chatzishir in the Torah, and still less than for Shabbat, there's no Chiva Shava. So, once I steal it, I don't have to give it back. So, it's ice guzzle. Okay, I couldn't give a whole shiur about that. They asked me to give a shiur that Shabbos. I remember Friday morning after the Shacharis. So they asked, some guy got up and says, does anyone here know how to lane? We'll divide the parsha. As soon as I heard that, it was the last thing I want to hear. For that, I don't like that. So I raised my hand and said, yeah, I'll lane. I had no idea. I didn't even know what the parsha was. Parsha's Karach. I said, okay, I'll lane. So I knew Parsha's Karach well enough to pull it off. So I learned Shabbos morning, and they asked me to give a shiur. It wasn't the guys, most of the guys I didn't know that. So it was Shabbos afternoon, they asked me to give a shiur. So I think, what in the world am I going to talk about? I'm in the middle of Wyoming. What am I going to talk about that's relevant for Wyoming? So one of the beautiful things, everyone go to the state parks there? See, so the frozen peak, like the ice, you know, the ice mountains there, I forgot what they're called.
Tetons.
The what?
Tetons.
Titas, yeah. So it's like beautiful. You go in the middle of July, and you see these frozen, icy mountains. So I gave a shiur about ice and snow on mountaintops when it melts, whether it disqualifies a mikvah or not. So I say, well, shiur, nochas mikvahs, about melted snow off the top of the mountaintops in July. try our best. Okay, anyway, so back to that story. So here you have a spice here, and you have no idea, is it an eitz, is it an ace if you're an Ashkenazi, you can't tell an apple from an orange, you have no idea what's going on there. Is it an apple or a carrot? You don't know what it is. So what do you do? So Tosfos quotes two opinions, what do you do? So Tosfos writes, Mishalach b'bayis, yesham b'sam, yesham b'sam, shemirah, b'misafkalei, imim in eitz, imim in adama. So Tosfos says, yesh b'farshim, shemivar shahakol niya b'dvaroi. What? The Alkulin and Bir Shakal Yotza. So it's Tais Dach of a Mishnah later on. We had this Mishnah in Brachas that if you have an apple, by mistake, you made a shakal. You had a slice of pizza, by mistake, you made a shakal. So it's off the bench, made a shakal. It's not Pesach pizza, it's real pizza. You made a shakal, you're Yates with the Evan, Kulin Bir Shakal Yotza. We spoke a lot about this halacha, about is this because shakal is a bracha klolis, right? We spoke about this. There are brachas klolis and brachas protesis, and this is enough to remove the issur of asa lehanos, right? We spoke a lot about this. So Tosfos quotes yesh b'farshim, that if you're not sure which bracha make a besamim in birach shakal yotza, understand? And let's say I'm about to do a mitzvah. I'm not sure. Am I doing the mitzvah of tefillin or tzitzis? I'm a little confused. So I'm not sure. Should I make laniach tefillin? Should I make lisat b'tzitzis? I'll make shakal. Not in Purim. I mean, I make shakal on the 16th day of Adar, not the 4th day of Adar. It was like a joke. Moshe Leitzon, it's a shakal. So obviously, these Yesh Mefarshim understood that no, it's not a Leitzon. That this is also Birch Zanenin. Im Kulim Birch Shakal Yotze means that all the Birch Zanenin, if you make shakal, you have it Roro. So you're Yotzei. Because all of these beautiful, things that are I'm enjoying, I'm benefiting from this world, Akulam, it is correct statement. Akulam Shema Shachal Nibidvara. The Bissam also came into being because Shachal Nibidvara. A guy's going to make Shachal Nibidvara on thunder. Shachal Nibidvara on Birchza Chama. It's a joke. Shachal Nibidvara only is Taifas and Birchza Nanin. So the first day in Taifas, the Yesh Beforshma, are saying clearly that this is a Birchza Nanin. And then Taifas backpedals Rabbi and Moshe Bekutzi, Amen. Who is the Moshe Bekutzi? What did he write? Anyone know? But the Smag, Sefer Mitzvahs Gadol, one of the Balei Taisus. There were two great Gedolim. There were probably others, but there are two very famous Gedolim from Kutzi. One of them was Rabbeinu Moshe Bekutzi, and one of them was Rabbeinu Shimshon Bekutzi. Rabbeinu Shimshon Bekutzi was probably the one that they call the Sar Bekutzi. Taisus, every once in a while, quotes the Sar Bekutzi. So the most say that he was called the Sar Bekutzi, not because he was a Sar, he wasn't an officer, he wasn't a count, he wasn't a prince, he wasn't anything. He was a regular rabbi who was sitting and writing texts with him. But he was called the Sar Bekutzi because his name was made a Shimshon Bekutzi. And then if you call him the Rash Bekutzi, Rash means a poor person. So it sounds like he's a poor, probably thought he was a poor person. But you don't call the man, he's the poor man from Kutzi. So they flip the letters, make him sound like he's an officer in the army, have been the Sar Bekutzi. So, there was a book that was written in the 1800s. Mr. Alton, remember this? Mr. Alton, remember when you were a kid back in the 1800s? Before. So there was a famous book called The Count of Kutzi. It was written by Marcus Lehmann. Marcus Lehmann was a rabbi in Germany. He was a former Orthodox rabbi in Germany in the 1800s. And he realized that the kids in Germany were going off to Derech. They were reading all kind of secular stuff. There was nothing before. This is the pre-art school novel. So he decided he's going to write novels in German, but with Jewish themes for them to interest the teenager kids. So he wrote a bunch of books that were eventually translated into English. So one of the books was The Count of Kutzi. So he wrote a whole made-up fantasy, Mamash Yesh Me'ayin, about the Rebbeinu Shimshon Bekutzi, that he was a count, and he was an officer, and he was in the Crusades, and he was fighting with Richard the Lionhearted, a whole long Megillah story. But Mamash Yesh Me'ayin, that was zero relevant to any no resemblance, living a dead to what the Rashi Bekutzi did, but he wrote a whole book, so he became known as the famous count of Kutzi. That was one of his children's, before Harry Potter, that was one of the kids that the Jewish kids used to read in Germany. Anyway, so the Rebbeinu Moshe Bekutzi said, no, he doesn't think that's right. Make sure Hakol sounds like a funny bracha. He says, "Hayah amish yivrach bar minei b'samim." He said, "But you should probably make his bar minei b'samim." Why? Minei b'samim, min means the Rav Shalom created the different kinds of spices. This is a different kind of spice. Is it a tree? Is it a bush? Is it a leaf? I have no idea. Is it a clover? I have no idea. But it's a minei b'samim. So why did Rabbeinu Moshe disagree with the Yesh Mefarshim? So either you could say that he took the maybe the unique position that there's not birchas hanenin. So he said it's a late sonus to make a shachal ibidvaro on a non birchas hanenin. Mamash doesn't make any sense. But maybe no, maybe Moshe Bekutzi probably didn't disagree with that. He probably bought into the Rambam of the Ritva. Everybody probably really holds that it's birchas hanenin. We didn't find anyone who really doesn't. Probably Moshe Bekutzi just said that it's birchas hanenin. But come on, shachal ibidvaro is so far removed. Some is at least a little bit closer. We always try to get the bracha a little bit better. Let's say if you have a choice between making hadoma, let's say you have an apple. If you made hadoma on an apple, shahakal on an apple, which is a better bracha? Hadoma is a little better. We spoke about this in the sugya of kedima v'brachas, right? There are some brachas that are more klolis, some more proteus. So in theory, Chazal could have made a takana, just make shahakal on everything. That would have made life a lot easier this year. We could have not learned kedima v'brachas. We could have learned, I don't know, the whole premise of Ketzu Mavarach is Ketzu Mavarach LaPeiris. The mission doesn't say Omra Kulam Shachal. The mission says Al Peiris Ilan Omra this, Al Peiris Aharis Omra this, Al Mizaydis make this, Al Mizaydis make this. So Chazal wanted that a greater Shevach to Rabban Shalom is the more you make it more specific, so the greater Shevach it is. Like we always give the Mashal. If you go to somebody's house and you want to thank the Baal Sabayis for dinner, so if you just walk out and say everything was great, okay, it's better than nothing. But if you say, oh, you know, that was really amazing. That dessert just was phenomenal. And, you know, like that cholet, wow, I've never had such a great... It makes the person feel a lot better. It shows that you're really, really focusing. You're appreciating each prat to prat. So Chazal didn't want to make a bracha klol. But the evan, if you walk out and you say everything was great, you can't say, if the guy walks out and doesn't say thank you, then he's tam kafi toy. So he said, shasar chak, he said a thank you. But lechet chili is supposed to be befarit, go prat to prat. So here also, if you have a better chance of making a little bit more prat to your stick, so make it more prat to your stick. Let's say if you have something, you're not sure, is it a bar parates or bar priadama? So we don't say you make shahakol. What do we say? We learned about this. You make a bar priadama. Bar priadama is better than a shahakol, even though they're both not necessarily the right bracha, but it's better. Adama is a better, is a higher bracha than shahakol. Shahakol is at the bottom of the list. So to over here, that's what the smag is saying, that if you have a choice between making a shahakol or burning b'samim, you yield to a shahakol, but that's like the lowest of the lowest of the low. That's not even b'samim oriented. That's the lowest. So unlike the Yesh Mefarshim, the Meishim Kutzi disagreed, but not because he disagreed in lomdus, that it's fundamentally not a b'chus, and then he probably just disagreed in terms of just protest and klolius. So again, when all the dust settles, we know we make a bracha. We didn't think we'd make a bracha on Reach. We know that we do. We're pretty confident. 99% of the raya seems to be pointing in the same direction. That it's basically just a part of the same old story of birchas hanenin. But now there's another cloud that impacts on when you do or don't recite a bracha. And this comes to impact probably in the clearest way the one of the four brachas that's mentioned in Brichas Arech, that's Shenosu Rech Tov HaPeiros, different than yourself, Shenosu Rech Tov HaPeiros, the bracha that is unique for fruits that smell nicely. If you have fruit, an apple doesn't smell like anything, so you don't make a bracha. But if you have a nice smelling fruit, then you make that bracha. So the Rosh has a comment on the sixth of the Marmikomos. He's commenting on the Gemara in Brachas Daf Nun Gimel. The sugyas of Reach come up here, and then they repeat. Part of them repeat itself later in the eighth parak, where the Gemara talks a little bit about the bracha over 7.5 dollar. So some of the details that don't appear in the sixth parak reappear in the eighth parak. So the Rosh has an observation on that Gemara in the sixth of the Marmikomos. Amrav Huna, the Rosh quotes B'sam Shabes Akise. If you have nice smelling spices that you put in the bathroom, like an air freshener. So you put it in, and then you walk into the bathroom. It smells gavaldic. So you can't make the bracha in the bathroom. Would you walk out of the bathroom and I just smell the gavaldic air fresh in the bathroom? It smells so good. Would I make a bracha? Or shemina osi lahavis azuma. The guy's got some really geschmack deodorant. You open it up, wow, old spice, smells like the lavender, mint, whatever it is. So he feels like a real, geschmack of basketball player. He really, really feels the, because it smells so good. So, aim of archelov. The Gemara says you don't make a bracha on these kinds of things. Why? My tabakomir, the lav the recha of it. These are not things that are there to enjoy the smell. when you put air freshener in the bathroom, it's not like, wow, I can't wait to go to the bathroom and just get that Gavaldika smell. Because the bathroom smells bad, so you put an air freshener to negate the bad smell. Or the guy, is not saying, wow, what wonderful fragrance am I going to put in my deodorant today so I can get that kashmaka smell out of it? No, because the guy's going to sweat up a storm. He's going to smell like a locker room. So he wants to make sure to offset that a little bit, so he puts on some strong smelling fragrance. So those are not smells. Those are anti. Those are anti-bad smells. So anti-bad smells don't warrant the bracha.
Does the Gemara say that you can't say bracha after because
it would
turn into a
shadow? The Gemara never addresses that. If Lamais, let's say a guy started to smell something, he didn't make a bracha, he could still make the bracha, I'll smach the rest of the smell. The same way, let's say I took a bite out of the pizza, I forgot to make a mozi, so I can make a mozi, we're going to have more bites. So you could, theoretically, a guy's putting on his deodorant, smells great, ooh, bomb maybe something, keeps up, kishmak. So the Gemara says, you don't do that, because that's not called the nasa l'reach. So comes the Rosh and continues, Hadi amin liya prekis mevarchin, haiman da arches rega b'chavush mevarch b'chshas na b'peiris. He says, wait a second, if a guy... The Gemara says in our sugya, if a guy smells an esrog or chavushim, some other kind of strong smelling fruit, you make a bracha shenasan rechta b'peiris. So the Rosh is bothered with this because it sounds to the Gemara that the guy's not smelling the esrog. The guy's eating the esrog. The guy's taking the esrog to make himself into esrog. He's going to cut the esrog up and put some sugar onto it. So he's cutting up the esrog. Ooh, it smells geshmak. So I'll make a shenasan rechta b'peiris. So the Rosh says, if that's the case that the Gemara is describing, that's like deodorant. That's like air freshener. It means that's not kavanas reyach. That's not nasa reyach. So why should you make the bracha on the fruit? So the Rosh says you're right. When the Gemara says that, the Gemara is talking about that you took the fruit to smell. It's not that you took the fruit to eat. Oh, at best, ola ochla ula reyach bo. Says the Rosh. He concedes. Let's say you took the fruit for both. I like the smell of the esrog and I like the taste. So if I take it for both, then you can make a bracha. Avalim locha la ochla. If your whole goal is to cut the esrog off and eat the esrog, v'riach b'ch, happens to be you're smelling the esrog too, kevin lo niskavach lo riach enzach lo v'chalav, there's no bracha on it. It happens to physically smell nicely, but in order to be chayav to make a bracha, it has to have that component of nasa l'riach. So it's interesting that even though we pushed for the last 45 minutes that birchas ha-reach, it's like birchas ha-nanin, here it's parting ways a little bit from birchas ha-nanin, because by birchas ha-nanin, we saw this earlier in the sixth parak. Let's say a guy is nana from something derech achilu shtia, even though that wasn't really what his intent was. He really had a different agenda, had a different plan. But he ended up being nana, and he makes a bracha. Where do we see this? Who remembers? This is by the refuah gemaras. Remember back at the beginning of the sixth parak? Guy has some good tasting medicine. The gemara says, even though his kavana is to take it as medicine, if it has a bad taste, then there's no bracha. But if it tastes good, so it's nana mimenu, chaych is nana mimenu, so you do recite a bracha on foods that you're taking for medicine. We had some rishonim said, you make shahakol. We talked about this, don't we? We talked about it at the end of the year, Ben Yonah, right? Some rishonim say, you make shahakol. Rishonim had a machloikis, let's say, I'm taking the medicine's not kosher, so maybe that's called achilas oynes, I don't really want to have the medicine. We spoke a lot about this. But be ikaron, if it's kosher medicine and it tastes good, let's say a guy has, I was taking a cough drop. So I don't know, he doesn't really like cough drops too much. On the other hand, they taste a little bit sweet. He would never have a cough drop normally. So if he takes a cough drop and now he's making, he's enjoying the cough drop, so he makes a shakal. Who remembers Stolte? Remember the Asper gum? When you were a kid. So Asper gum used to be that for kids who don't want to take their little baby aspirins. Aspirin was the thing that used to exist before somebody thought of Tylenol. So the aspirin. So they had this little baby, remember the orange, little St. Joseph's, little orange. As you got older, you took, I remember as a little kid, you took two. Then you got, like, when you reached six, you took three. Then you were like eight, you took four. You still tell? You still tell? Okay. So for those kids who didn't want to have the St. Joseph's aspirin, so they came up with a thing called aspirin gum. They took a piece of gum, and they coated the gum with aspirin, with the flavoring also. But there was aspirin, cherry-coated aspirin on the gum. They just chewed the gum, and you had the aspirin. I can't tell you it was kosher or not. I can tell you that we had it when we were kids. I can't tell you 100% what the, there's a different, a different understanding of some nuances of kashrus back in the 1960s, but we'll leave it another time, another place. The assumption was, if the doctor said you have to have it, the doctor says, you have to call it. So they asked everyone, and they asked for gum. So we used to make shakal. maybe according to Rabbi, it wasn't kosher, but you make shackle. Everyone makes shackle on it. Why? Even though I'm not really having it because I like the gum, I'm really having it because I have a sore throat, but it tastes good. So you make a bracha on it. So, l'chora, birchas ha'eichlin and birchas ha'mashkin are now parting ways a little bit with the birchas ha'reach, because when it comes to birchas ha'reach, unless I'm really, really intending to smell it, if it's just kind of a secondary smell, so you don't make a bracha on it. Whereas by secondary hanos of achil and shtiyas, you do make a bracha on it. So here we pushed for 45 minutes to equate the two, and now we're taking a step back and saying they're not 100% the same. A little bit of a nuance of a difference. But lemaisa that's the din. Lemaisa the din is that the Rosh says, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that if a person is eating a fruit, even though the fruit happens to smell good, you do not make a secondary nos brecht of a peiris. But if you're either taking the fruit to smell, specifically, you're not eating it, or if you're really, truly doing it for both, then you would, in fact, recite a bracha.
You're doing it for both. Wouldn't one bracha
touch
the other one?
One is bar for eats for eating, and one is
what's up? If the svar is aser v'aniyah, bracha.
That's like a different kind of a no. It's a different kind of a no. Different sense, and taste and smell. They're connected, but they're not identical.
Okay, why would we make a bracha on the secondary one to food, but not by smell?
I don't know. I just was more over that question.
Yeah, nutrients.
I don't know. Not sure. It's not really Ikiv a Tofel. Ikiv a Tofel is when you have two different foods and one becomes, you know, Tofel to the other. Here, it's two different Mechaivim. And you want to argue that the Mechaiv and Oichel is a higher level of Mechaiv. Maybe you're right. The Kishem Shavarach, maybe you're right. But the Maisa didn't you have to make two brachas? So again, so the Rush gave you two examples. Either you took it only for smelling, or if you had both together, that's also sufficient. So with this background, the Rishonim have a big, big Shiloh about who in the world is smelling a sregim? In the middle of March, always picking up a sregim to smell. When do people smell a sregim? On sukkahs. What's it then? So if a person smells a geshmak, esreg, why do they smell the geshmak? They're shaking a little bit esreg. It's geshmak. Wow. Ah. So what's the din? Do you make a bracha? Do you not make a bracha? So the first question you have to ask yourself is, are you allowed to be smelling it altogether? Maybe you're doing it there. Maybe you're not supposed to be smelling the esreg. Why would one think you're not allowed to smell the esreg? So we know there is a principle called Hutzala Mitzvah. When an item is set aside for a mitzvah, so generally you're not supposed to use it for other kinds of usages. The Gemara says that's considered like a Bizei Mitzvah. The Gemara in the second book of Shabbos, in the Sukkot Neres Chanukah, and the Chabez, so the Gemara says that we derive from Psukim that there's an idea of Asa Levazza Mitzvah. So you're not allowed to take the Chetash Mitzvah and degrade it, use it in a disrespectful manner. How do you know that? Where do you learn that from? So the Gemara says that the mocha for that, that's a din deraisa. That concept of treating mitzvahs in a mechubadikdom fashion is derived from a pasuk by Kisi Adam. There's a mitzvah when you shecht a bird or a wild animal, you have to cover the blood. So the pasuk says, v'shafachas damo v'chisa v'alfar. So v'shafachas damo, that refers to the shechita, when you're shechting it, so then that spills the blood out. V'chisa v'alfar, then you cover it. So the Gemara's address, Tashma Feh, says, v'shafach v'chisa, v'meshe shafach u'yichaseh, that the part of the body that you use to do the shechita, that's the part that you use to do the kisui. When you shecht, you hold your knife in your hand. So the correct way of doing kisui adam is to pick up some of the dirt and throw the dirt onto the blood. But what you shouldn't do is shalei chaseh beregel. Even though it would be much easier, the dirt's on the floor. So why do I have to bend down, get my hands dirty, and pick up some dirt and throw it onto the blood? It would be much easier to just give it a kick with my foot and just kick some of the dirt onto the blood. So the Gemara says, that's also, you know, I'll do it. That's a nisudera aisa. Why? Because that's shalo yomitzu b'zuya salah. That's a very degrading way. You see, a foot, it's a choshava, covetic thing. You bend down, pick it up with your hands. It's much more of a covetic. So the fact that you do it with your foot, that's a degradation of the mitzvah. And that's derived from this pasuk. So the Gemara says, aviyin dekulun dam. So that the mitzvah of kisui adam is the father of the entire concept of bizui mitzvahs. The whole notion of shalom mitzvah bizui salav is derived from kisui adam. So the context of the Gemara there in Maseches Shabbos is that how do you know that you're not allowed to use the fire of Neres Chanukah? So the Neres Chanukah lit, and I want to count my money by my Neres Chanukah. That's the example the Gemara says. Why is this guy counting his money? How do you get so much money in Chanukah? What's the answer? just got Chanukah. So he's coming. That's not what the Gemara says. He's trying to count his money by the Neiros Chanukah. So the Gemara says he's not allowed to do that. Why? Because that's a violation. There's Nidah B'Shafah for Chiz. Even though Neiros Chanukah is not a Rabbanon, but when Chazal was sacking Neiros Chanukah, so they said that called the Tikkun Rabbani Gendereis. I think in the same way that in a Torah, it's a bizoyan to the dirt that's going to be used as a chefta shabitzvah to kick with your foot. So it's a bizoyan to read by the, to look at the light of the chalakha candles for your own personal usage. So it's in that Gemara that there was a major machlekes, the Balamor and the Ran, how to understand that Gemara. So the Balamor says that the Gemara there means that the only thing wrong with looking at the light of Neres Chanukah is bizoyan mitzvah. That's it. There's nothing else. There's no other reason why you're not allowed to benefit from the chalakha candles except the fact that it's disgraceful. And therefore the Balamor says, what if it's not disgraceful? What if I use it in such a manner that's not a disgrace? I want to learn. What am I Sedra? I want to sit and learn in Daf Yomi. By the Chanukah candles. Balamor says, what a great kiddush mitzvah Torah are. I can't think of a more beautiful thing to do than to sit and learn Torah by the Neiros Chanukah. Then the Balamor says, let's say I want to eat my Shabbos meal. So what a beautiful way. Otherwise I can't see the chicken I'm going to enjoy. I'm spilling the soup all over myself. So what a beautiful way is I'll be nether from the Neiros Chanukah. Matayv Manoim. So the Balamor says that when the Gemara says Shelo Yu Mitzvahs Bezuyas Alav, the reason why the Gemara gave the example of counting your money, that's Taka Bezuyin, but Tzorachim Mitzvah Taka Motor. So the Ran and most of the other Rishonim say that's not true. So if the Balamor would be right that the only reason why you're not allowed to be Nana is only because of that, so then the Balamor would be right. But the Ran says there's another reason, a totally different reason why, because the Neiros Chanukah were instituted Ka'ein the Neiros of the Mikdash. So you're not allowed to be nana from the Neiros HaMikdash. There's no me'ilah because it's mar, but you're not supposed to use the fire of the... You're not supposed to sit in mar v'sedah by the light of the menorah in the base of Mikdash. You're going to take out your gemara and start reading your article gemara by inside the heichal by the menorah. So, that's not appropriate. So comes around and says that if it would just be a din kloli of the loy mitzvah b'zuyas love, the Balmo would be right. But the fact that they instituted Ke'en the menorah, so that asks even Dvar Mishal Mitzvah. That's what the Mefarshim HaMedayik in the Lashon of the Neiros Halalu. Neiros Halalu appears in Chazal. It appears in Masechah Sefer. So the Nusuf that we say of Neiros Halalu says, HaNeiros Halalu Kodeshem, Ve'en Lan Rishus Nishtamish Behem. So what's the Hemshech between the two? So the answer is that and there's Lokadishem, that the reason, the ultimate reason why we can't use Neiros Chanukah is not Alts Bizoy Mitzvah. That's one of the reasons. But the additional, more encompassing reason is Kodeshem. And therefore, the Ein Lan Rishush Lam Rishlam, Ella Reisa Bovad. Ella means you're not allowed to learn by it. We pass in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to buy for Seder, you're not allowed to light it for your Shabbos candle, you're not allowed to be Nen at Tzorchen Mitzvah. If the Issa would have been like the Balamor, Alts Bizoy, it would have been Mutter. But we pass in Neiros Lokadishem, the Ein Lan Rishush Ella Shabbos Behem. You're only allowed to use them to look at. You're not allowed to use them bichlal, even for tzarechei mitzvah, because they're kodesh. So in the middle of that sugya, so the Gemara discusses this idea that when you have a davar shel mitzvah, so it's a big bizayon to use it for other things. Let's say the mashal, let's say I have oil that was set aside for Neiros Chanukah, and I already lit it. I lit it, and then it went out. Why'd it go out? It knocked over, blew out, whatever it is. So we paskin the kifsa ein zochukla. That you don't have to relight it. We paskin even if it went out within a half hour, mikra didn't have to relight it. You want to relight it, it's a nice thing to do, but you're not mechuyif to. So the halacha is that what if I want to take that oil? I filled up a big cup of oil, so it lit for 5 minutes, and then it got blown out. So I want to take all that oil and put it into my salad dressing now. Why not? It's an extra olive oil, it's clean enough, take the wick out, and use it for serving on my dressing. So the din is you're not allowed to do that. Why? Because it's huktzol mitzvah. Because once that oil was designated to be used for tzarchei mitzvah, so you're not allowed to use it for other things. So what do you do with the oil? So the Chazal say that it's tisefta. I forgot already. Says that it's a medrash. I forgot already. It says you light it the next night, and then if you don't have that's about the eighth night, if you still have oil left over, it's oisim edura. It's a medrash tenchuma. It says you just make a bonfire and just destroy it. That's it. You can't use it for your olive oil even after Chanukah, because once it's huktzol mitzvah. So the Gemara Masechah Sukkah talks about this very shaila. The guy has an esrog, and he wants to use the esrog for other things, not just a mitzvah. So once he shakes the esrog, once he shakes the lubin esrog, it becomes chutzal mitzvah. So maybe you're not allowed to smell it anymore. Maybe you're not allowed to eat it anymore. Maybe chutzal mitzvah. So the Gemara discusses that.
If it's chutzal mitzvah, can you use it for a different mitzvah, or it has to be that mitzvah specifically? Can you use it for an Erev Shabbos, or?
I'm not sure. I don't remember. So the Gemara says in Masechah Sukkah that what's the din with this eser? So the Gemara is like this: Amar Rabbi, hadasha mitzvah asla riachbay. If you have a hadas that was used to shake lulav with, you can't just turn around an hour later and use that to smell. Esrog shel mitzvah b'dlo rechboi. Whereas an esrog shel mitzvah, you're allowed to smell. What's the difference? By time. Hadas l'recha koi ki aktsiyeh merecha aktsiyeh. Esrog l'achila koi ki aktsiyeh mechila aktsiyeh. It's very interesting, Gemara. The Gemara says that this idea of huktzul mitzvah means that when something is designated for a mitzvah, you use it for a mitzvah, and you don't use it for all the other normal things you would have thought you used it for. So let's say l'moshel hadas. What else could you use hadas for? To smell. It smells nice, hadas. So that's the din of huktzul mitzvah. So no, once you use it for a mitzvah, it's a bizoyin mitzvah to use it for smelling. Because smelling hadas is a normal thing. That's like a pchisa korvah to the hadas. But in esrog, if you use it for a mitzvah, so then on sukkah you can't eat it. You want to eat after sukkah, that's a different story. But you want to, see, so you shit a little bit of esrog in the morning, then you want to chop it up in the afternoon and make it to esrog and jam. So you can't do that. Why? Because eating an esrog is a normal thing, and that's a violation of huktzul mitzvah. So smelling an esrog. Esrog, we're not really there to be smelled. That's not the primary goal of an esrog, is to smell you. On a regular Tuesday in the middle of July, you don't smell esrog. So therefore, you were never really makta it l'recha. It means using it for reich is not a p'chisakov. That's not a bizoyan. It's only considered to be a bizoyan when you use it on something that you had in mind not to use it for. So when I shook the lulav esrog, I'm having in mind, I'm using it for a mitzvah, and I'm not going to eat it for lunch today, because that's the normal usage. People don't think about smelling esrog. It's not on a person's radar screen. So if a person decides they want to go ahead and smell the esrog an hour after they shook it, nishkefelach, that's okay. So if it's a baruch Hashem, we breathe a sigh of relief. It's mutter to smell an esrog. Now we have a shayla, abba zoy, it's mutter to smell an esrog, even right after you shook the little bit esrog, to make a bracha on that. You should. Why not? Smells good. So is there any reason to believe that you don't? So that's, well, for the next time tomorrow, we'll try to finish up the lulav and esrog part, and then finish a little bit more of the sugya. Then guys can start getting started on the next Bekaris. We may be leaving getting started tomorrow.
Okay, I have two questions on the last thing.
Yeah.
One, how do we have these esrog?